Red Meat Radio from a guy who doesn't eat red meat. He's Andrew Wilkow.
All right. It's a Friday. The world is not coming to an end. Joining me on the program right now from the Pacific Research Institute is Sally Pipes. How you doing?
I'm well, thank you, in spite of the fact that it does sound like the world is, according to the media, going to come to a cataclysmic end, which
okay.
is, I think, completely overblown.
Let me just make sure I give out your title so everyone knows this. You are the President and CEO and Thomas W. Smith Fellow in Research Health Policy at the Pacific Research Institute. So you know a thing or two about this, right? We're not just putting on one of our wacky, conservative, paranoid people. Not that we ever do that.
Well, exactly. That is my title, and I'm the author of a new book from Encounter called False Premise, False Promise, The Disastrous Reality of Medicare for All, which, of course, Bernie Sanders and AOC, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, are saying with the coronavirus, this is the reason why we should be going to single-payer or Medicare for All, which is exactly the opposite of what we should be doing in this country.
Before we get to your piece and your examples of Canada and the U.K., Italy has a quasi, they have essentially a Medicare for All system, right? They have high taxes for their healthcare system, but they do have elements of the free market for the rich and powerful.
Well, exactly. But Italy, with a population of about 60 million, is sort of at the center of the coronavirus situation after China, Italy and South Korea. They have 15,000 cases, of which 1,000 people have died in Italy from coronavirus. I think something we need to think about and talk about is the fact that in Italy, they have an older population now. 27% of the people are over 65. People live in dense housing. And the fact that they're not, and the healthcare system is not a free market system. It has a lot of government. Italy is in a financial crisis, and therefore they can't put more money into the healthcare system. And so, you know, we're getting a lot more cases and deaths because the healthcare system there cannot respond, and there are not enough young people having babies to, you know, recover the population and build on it and provide the tax revenue to provide the new health facilities and the latest in tests and drugs as well.
I have read wholesale paragraphs, whole cloth paragraphs from Dr. Ezekiel Emanuel's paper from The Lancet in 2009, which kind of became the basis of delivery in Obamacare, and it certainly would be the basis of single-payer delivery should we make the mistake. And I think I freak some people out when I read exactly what quality adjusted life years is and then what Dr. Ezekiel Emanuel refers to as a social benefit and some of the categories he has for people who get treatment. Social benefit, obviously, is people who I guess the government thinks bring more to the table than, you know, the masses, which would be the government itself. But Italy now is turning away elderly people. And I've pointed out, only to have people reach out or call the program, say, you know, this is scary stuff, that the old people have already lived out their purpose, right? There's no point in expending resources to keep them alive. They're going to die anyway. So the hospitals are playing God right now because that's what happens in socialized medicine. And quality adjusted life years is not something that's being made up to scare people. It really is embedded in every single socialized healthcare system.
Well, you're absolutely right. And if you look at the United Kingdom under NICE, the National Institute of Health and Clinical Excellence, it is not NICE. In fact, because they use QALY in order to determine quality adjusted value of life to determine whether you're eligible for a treatment or the latest drug. So if the government actuary decides, Andrew, that you're as a senior, that you're the value of your life is, say, $50,000, but the cost of a new drug to treat you might be $60,000, well, then you're not eligible for it. This is how they ration care in the UK, how they ration care in Canada. And it's what some of the people, such as Bernie Sanders, who wants to have the government fully take over the healthcare system and have no private coverage at all, this is what they want, and this is what will happen. Canada, where I'm from, the average wait last year from seeing a primary care doctor to treatment by a specialist, 20.9 weeks. That's over 5 months. And the older you are, the less likely you are to get treatment.
You wrote about the UK healthcare system. You know, the World Health Organization, who we're all supposed to believe is staffed with geniuses, they've ranked the United States system 37th in the world, except when you actually break out results. So one of the things that brings down our average is we don't have a declared you know, healthcare is a human right sort of thing in our constitution, which they do in Cuba, which is great, right? So, you know, let's see who wants to go to Cuba for healthcare. But when it comes to cancer survival rates, the UK is dead last in the industrialized world, and we're number one. How could that be?
Well, because we have the very best in treatments, the very best in equipment, the very best doctors. Doctors are paid a lot higher. The average doctor in the U.S. Today is paid $313,000 a year versus, say, $138,000 in the U.K. We get the best and brightest to go into medicine, and so we get cancer treatments pretty fast when we're diagnosed with cancer. In the United Kingdom, as you say, United Kingdom ranked last in international developed countries in five-year cancer survival rates. Well, you know, a lot of these people, there's a rule in the UK that says when you're diagnosed with cancer, you're to be treated within 62 days of diagnosis. They have not been able in the UK to reach that 62-day guideline for over 5 years. So if you're diagnosed with cancer, 62 days is over 2 months, and it's very important in getting your treatment. Here in the U.S., I mean, remember when Rudy Giuliani was seeking the Republican nomination for government, and he was told the American people that he had prostate cancer. He was treated, got very good treatment, was cured, and he talked about the survival rates in the U.S. are very, very high compared to countries like Canada, the U.K., France, and Germany. We want to keep our healthcare system, you know, moving forward to being one we can achieve universal coverage if we have universal choice and give people options and encourage the best and brightest to go into medicine, to encourage the biotech firms and the pharmaceutical firms where most of the new drugs and treatments are developed in the U.S., not in countries with price controls. We need to keep that market open. And if you look at the coronavirus, most of the research into vaccines and antivirals today is being done by companies in Massachusetts, Inovio, Moderna. All of these companies are trying to get, you know, the treatment and a cure to market. It's not happening in countries like Italy where they have price controls or in Canada.
Sally Pipes is joining us. She's the president, CEO, and Thomas W. Smith Fellow in Healthcare Policy at the Pacific Research Institute and author of the book False Premise, False Promise, The Disastrous Reality of Medicare for All. But Bernie's out there. I mean, look, his candidacy seems to be fading, even though Joe Biden's kind of adopting so many of his ideas because that's what he has to do. But Bernie was out there on more than one interview saying, you know, if we had single payer, we'd be saving lives right now. Well, first of all, you know, more people die from the regular flu than this coronavirus. We don't talk about how the CDC set the death toll for swine flu in the first term of Obama at 17,000, including 1,800 children. The media is not reminding us of that. If single payer or socialized medicine works so well, we'd be envious of Italy at this point.
Well, we certainly would. And, you know, the flu today, the flu season, 14,000 people in the U.S. have already died this year from the regular influenza. We've only had 41 people, sadly, die from coronavirus and 1,700 cases in the U.S. What Bernie Sanders will do if he were to become the Democratic candidate, which it doesn't look like he will now, but you know this would mean that the government would have to put set a global budget on healthcare. We would have a lot less money from the government going into healthcare, no private coverage, and so we would get long waits. We would get rationed care. We would have, just like in the UK and Canada right now with coronavirus, health officials are just panicking because there are already no beds in these countries for treating people because the hospital beds are already full with people with regular flu. If you look at SARS back, remember SARS was a big issue in 2002, 2003. Well, Canada had 375 cases of SARS, of which 44 people died. One man was in an emergency room for 16 hours trying to get a bed in a ward, and he infected many people. In the U.S., we only had 27 cases of SARS, and no one died from it, because this is where innovation is happening, and Bernie Sanders wants to cut that innovation down, cut the money going to healthcare. We would have long wait, ration care. And Joe Biden, who seems to be, you know, is worrying to me because he seems to be not 100% well. While he says he doesn't like Medicare for all, it would cost, you know, $38 to $40 trillion over 10 years. But he is proposing a public option, which would be building on Obamacare. A public option would be a government insurance plan to compete against private insurers in the exchanges. The government would price their coverage lower than private firms. Private firms would be pushed out of the market. And we would then, it's just a stepping stone approach to what Bernie Sanders and Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez want, i.e. a full government takeover of our healthcare system.
I got to ask, this is going to sound like a stupid question. One of the things that we are learning about coronavirus, it has obviously harsher effects on people who are elderly. You pointed out the birth rate is low in Italy, and the rate of the percentage of elderly is extraordinarily high, but it also affects people who have respiratory issues. And if I'm reading this right, the CDC says smoking is down 20% over the past decade in the United States. But also I was looking up that still 23% of Italians are still smoking. So we're down to about 15% of the population. Obviously, our population is, you know, well over 300 million. We're, you know, Italy's nowhere near us. But is that a product
million,
of
yep.
this? Is that a product of this, that you have older people who may still be smoking, that if it's affecting people with respiratory issues and who are people who are advanced age, that maybe part of what we're seeing in Italy is that Europeans still like their tobacco?
Well, exactly. I mean, if you look, smoking is way down in the United States. It's been a big educational program. But in countries like Italy and France, when you're there, everyone seems to be smoking. The coronavirus is going to be very hard on people age 70 and over, people with heart disease, people with lung diseases, pneumonia,
COPD,
all of these things, COPD. And so, but when we were in Milan last year in May, we got off the train coming up from Naples, and there was a big sign that said non fumare, meaning no smoking. Under that sign, there were 15 people all smoking cigarettes, completely disobeying. The Italians are libertarian in some social aspects of their lives, but smoking is still a big deal, and I think particularly among the elderly. And so, you know, these are the people that are really being affected by the virus. And, you know, there are 137 cases diagnosed around the world and 5,000 deaths. But as I say, here in America, we've only so far had 41 die and 1,700 cases. We are, you know, we have the world's best healthcare system. We need to make some changes to make it even more market-based and give people more opportunities, empower doctors and patients, not the federal government, as Senator Sanders wants to do and as Vice President Joe Biden wants to do in a stepping stone approach.
Why do I feel like with the media acting the way they're acting and scaring people, we survived bird's flu, we survived swine flu, SARS, Zika, Ebola, that I you know, I don't know when this is going to end. I'm not a doctor. It doesn't feel like this is the way swine flu was. Maybe we haven't seen the numbers peak yet. I hear one opinion that says, well, some people are getting what are standard cold symptoms. They may have had coronavirus, never even sought treatment for it. It's already out of their system. So maybe the peak has already happened. Maybe it's yet to happen. But I feel like when it's over, and it's going to be over, and unfortunately, yes, people will lose their lives. You know, Dr. Anthony Fauci was very blunt about this. He said, look, there's going to be that case of a 25-year-old person in perfect health who gets this and dies. That happens with every disease. I was reminded of our friend Bree Payton, who was just starting her conservative media career at 26 years old. She got the swine flu and meningitis and ultimately passed away. That even if you think something just affects old people or just affects children, you know, there's always an X factor. We don't know who is going to have that unfortunate set of circumstances, but I feel as if when we get to the end of this, the media is not going to change its tune. It's not going to say, hey, wait a second. Actually, a lot of the things Trump proposed were good ideas, like the travel ban. They're just going to move on to the next thing to try to win an election. But do you think we're going to be at the end of this and it's going to be forgotten as quickly as it became to the fore?
Well, I certainly hope so. I mean, there's no question we need to be prepared, but people are panicking, and a lot of it has to do with the mainstream media, you know, riling people up and saying it's, you know, the head of the World Health Organization said it's a global pandemic. Mr. Trump, the president, is going to be speaking in about half an hour, and he may say that we have a national emergency. But one of the top microbiologists at MIT, one of the world's top, you know, science institutions, just came out and said this has become so political. It's all the mainstream media is pushing this. The deep state is pushing it. And it really, he feels that it's going to die down very quickly. We're going to get this under control. But when you listen to the mainstream media, one would think that in 6 months, you know, so many people, 100 million people in the U.S. will have had the coronavirus. I think this is all overstated, and we don't have the statistics to make these statements. I think, as I say, the drug companies and the biotech companies are working very hard to get antivirals, to get vaccines. I think we're in a very good position in America to really keep the death toll down, keep the number of cases down, but we have to be vigilant and we have to allow the market to work so that we can get the best drugs and treatments, and that people can, if they get the coronavirus, 70,000 people around the world have been cured already from the coronavirus. So, you know, the death is, as you say, in people who are older, who have lung issues, who have asthma. These are the people that we really need to worry about and take care of. And under a socialized system, with nice, equality adjusted value of life, under Canada with their single payer system, these people will not get the kind of treatment that they get in America.
All right, I got to leave it there. Sally Pipes is the president, CEO, and Thomas W. Smith Fellow in Healthcare Policy at the Pacific Research Institute. Her latest book is False Premise, False Promise, The Disastrous Reality of Medicare for All. Have a great weekend. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you, Andrew. You too.
All right, we're going to wrap it up with the next segment. Hand it off to Sean Hannity, Mark Levin, Breitbart News Tonight. We're right there wrong. That's the end of the story. The arguments on this radio program cannot be broken. Sirius XM Patriot.